Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 65 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Heather Baxendale of the Milkcast. Welcome back for the final day of our week together, Heather.
Thank you for having me back. I'm flaming, just like you requested.
Excellent. There you go. I can see that. No one else can. But, you know, use your imaginations. How's that?
Fire! Here it is. Fire.
So, minute 65 begins with Neil and Del looking back in shock and ends with Neil asking a big question. So, yesterday, at the end of the minute, Neil and Del happened to notice that, separately, they each noticed that the car is slightly aflame. There are a few little sparks flying around back and forth here, completely engulfed in flames. And basically, the two of them each looked back separately and then ignored it. And then together, I mean, it's a great shot having the two of them turn around in unison as they're looking. And they both finish spinning around as this minute begins. And they're both in complete shock. They are dumbfounded about what they see. And they give us a great shot from behind them that gives the viewer an amazing view of what they're seeing. You know, basically we get their viewpoint of the whole thing. You know, we see the car literally engulfed in flames. And then once again, we get a shot of their faces. And as we were talking yesterday, we get that cinematographic glow on their faces of the what would seem like fire, you know, which it might have really been in order for them to do that. I don't know. And then not only did they turn around in unison, at this point they both stand up in unison and they both look at the car. And they're just staring at the car, basically saying, you know, that, you know, they're beyond laughing. They're beyond being upset. You know, they're beyond emotion, I guess you can say. And Neil just like puts his hands in his jacket pockets. You know, he's calm. Doesn't really, you know, he's like, can it get any worse?
No. I felt like this was like the peak moment of just finally accepting that the world is now out of their control, which his moment after this kind of confirms that with his reaction to the car being on fire. Both of them, it's just, at this point, what else could go wrong?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
There's always more. Right. Don't ever ask that question.
And then Neil reaches the point where he just starts laughing and laughing and laughing. We get almost an entire half a minute of him laughing in this minute. There's a lot of laughing. And, you know, Steve Martin does a great fake laugh, you know, as he's looking. And Del just like looks over him like curiously trying to figure out what's going on. And I mean, Neil starts laughing so much that he even like claps his hands on Neil, and he starts like holding his stomach as he's laughing. I mean, this is great fake laughing acting, I guess you can say. And Neil, and then at that point, Del starts laughing also, but you can see that he's laughing a little uncomfortably
because cautiously, yeah,
he's not sure exactly what's going on. Like, why is Neil laughing so much? I don't know. Don't know. And then Del turns to Neil and says, "What? What?" And Neil says, "You finally did it to yourself." Neil is so sure of himself at this point. You know, finally, after, you know, 65 minutes of dealing with Del, you know, Del has finally screwed himself, you know, yes, in Neil's mind. And
well, that's exactly it, in his mind.
Exactly. And then Del also begins to laugh a little bit. And then Neil says to him, "I mean, good luck turning the car in. I mean, they're going to be happy as pigs as to see you." And then he goes, "How could you rent this thing anyway without a credit card?" And I mean, just thinking about all the things that he just says. And first of all, we haven't heard Neil talk this much the entire week.
Nope.
You know, here we get three lines, one after the other. They're great. You know, like what do you think about car damage rental car damage and stuff like that. Like, what do you think? What type of
This
insurance do you think they have? Like, how does that work? What do you think?
is going to be a total. They're going to have to replace the car. That's what's going to happen. You might have some. First of all, I don't think that most cars are going to have fire damage. They would be able to tell somehow that a cigarette was what started the whole entire fire, if we're actually breaking this down, and they would be negligent. So they would be responsible past whatever minimal insurance, and that's assuming Dell got insurance on the car, which I think we can all safely assume he did not.
Right.
but if he had rental insurance on it, I think it's fairly safe to say that it's not going to cover the total of the car. And even if it did, they would be able to figure out that it was negligence on his part
Right.
that caused the damage, and therefore he would be responsible. Which it wouldn't be Dell, it would be Neil. So I think he would have full culpability for the entirety of the vehicle's destruction.
Yeah. Okay, and so I did a little bit of research about this, about what type of policies, what type of insurance policies rental cars have or offer even. There's a thing called collision damage waiver. There's personal accident insurance, and there's all these different types of insurances that they try to convince people to sign on for, which can sometimes add maybe even $30 a day to what you're already paying to rent a car, right? But then the question is, okay, is it good to have this type of thing or not? Now, if you have a collision damage waiver, what that basically means is that anything happens to the car, if it gets stolen, if it gets damaged or anything like that, you don't have to pay for it. You're paying a few bucks a day or whatever it is. And basically, I mean, there obviously is some sort of deductible, but in this case, it would be ideal if this is what Dell had, but I don't think he did. I strongly doubt it. Okay.
No.
Now they have what's known as supplemental liability insurance. Okay, which means that it will cover damages to other people's properties. If you hit another car or medical costs for other people who are injured by you or things like that, anything that, since you're legally responsible for that car, right? Now, in normal car insurance policies, every state in the union requires some sort of minimal amount of liability insurance. You can't drive around without any type of insurance. I mean, I know here in Israel it's a requirement. You can't, it's one of the insurances that you have to pay. You can't get insurance on a car without having liability.
It's the same in Michigan.
Right.
You have to.
Okay. Then another type of is the personal accident insurance. Okay, which covers other people's property damage and injuries in an accident. Personal accident coverage includes medical, ambulance, death benefits for you and your passengers. Fun, fun, fun.
Wow.
Okay, then there's another thing called personal effects coverage. Okay, it's, insurance that will cover any theft of possessions in the car. But it's usually up to a certain dollar limit. You can't like say, oh yeah, I had a $10,000 diamond ring in the car that for some reason
Yeah.
disappeared. So yeah, no, I just
Oh, always carrying those around
yeah.
on rentals.
So basically, the chances of Dell not having to pay for this are pretty slim. He's gonna have to pay through the nose for this whole thing, because I doubt his insurance, especially back in the 80s, they probably didn't require as much insurance then on rental cars as they do now.
Probably not. Insurance in the last 10 years alone has changed
Right.
considerably.
Exactly. And so at this point, as I mentioned, so Neil says they're gonna be as happy as pigs in to see you. Have you ever heard that phrase before?
Yeah,
What do you think it
yeah.
means?
Well, I mean, pigs enjoy dirty things like mud and grossness, and they don't care about their own doo-doo. So they don't care if they're rolling around in their own dookie, then they're happy doing anything. So yeah, they're going to be, oh, I see what you're asking. Why they're going to be happy. I think he's being
Yes.
sarcastic. Yes, he's being
Yes,
sarcastic in that
completely.
scenario. You weren't asking me about
No,
pigs.
that's fine. No, no.
I've had way too much
No,
coffee.
Heather, it's fine. That we were gonna I was gonna explain the literal meaning of it also, so that's fine also. Okay. So basically, the information I found is that pigs seem to be happiest when they were wallowing in their own filth, as you basically said. And that's where the phrase comes from, is for someone who's in a very happy state of mind, pure joy, where everything works in their favor and things like that. All right. So I also found where this actually came from. Okay. So the background of it is that it comes from the fact that a pig is generally happier in its own environment, as long as it's rolling around in its own feces. And for some reason, they say, now, again, I'm Jewish, so I don't eat pigs. I don't eat any pig-related stuff, but it says that it makes bacon and sausages tastier and tenderer. I don't know about that.
I'm not buying that. I enjoy my pork products, but I don't see how that makes any sense whatsoever, unless it has to do with the happiness of the animal. In which case, I'm going to say most of the pork products that we purchase from the stores are probably not from happy animals. So all of that is sounds like also a bunch of
Exactly.
BS.
Yeah, completely. Two legs bad, four legs good, right?
Yes.
And then,
Oh,
yeah.
that's
And then
funny.
Neil ends the minute with this great question that how could you rent this thing anyway without a credit card? Because we know that he only has for Chalmers big and tall men in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. Which we discussed this weeks ago, but I just still find it amazing that even at this point in the 80s, a salesman is not going to walk around with a credit card.
It seems bananas, but
But it's for the plot. They needed it for the
It's
plot,
Dell. Yeah, they did, and it's Dell. They've somehow made him continue to get by on being this walking train wreck, and do things as they shouldn't be, and somehow he's still just going like the
That's
desert
right.
bunny. What I like about this though is it's another moment where Neil, and it's just even in the week that we've gone through. It's, 5 minutes, and yet we've had like three or four revelations for him where he's done the
Yeah. Correct.
aha, where things seem okay for like brief moments, and then he realizes, no, they're not.
Not at all.
So he had a whole like 30 seconds of laughter and joy where he felt semi-fulfilled.
Which hopefully was good for him at the time, at least.
He could make the next 103 miles home.
Yeah,
Oh,
I did a little
goodness.
bit of research that I wasn't going to go through. I found an academic article about the way that smoke and flames will spread to high temperatures in car fires, and they did experiments. I mean, I skimmed through the article. I didn't read the whole thing, but I just find it really funny that academics are sitting and burning a car in order to do research on it. Like how long it takes for the car to completely get consumed and things like that.
Well, I mean, they do that with all sorts of different kinds of accidents with
Yeah, but
cars and whatnot
this is
too.
researchers
So,
who published an article on it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about people in a car company or something like that. It says that usually it takes about anywhere between 20 and 29 minutes for a car to be completely consumed.
see, that's good information for people that work for the mob.
And the
You should
temperature,
definitely
that's
publish that
true.
and put that out there so they know.
How hot do you think it gets in there?
Oh, goodness.
Okay, well, this one, it mentions it in Celsius. It says 900 degrees Celsius. Pretty hot.
400, 500 degrees.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's going to start burning and melting metal. So
Right, that's true.
all you're going to get, all that's going to be left is the frame of the car when it gets that hot. Which if you're working for the mob, pay attention to this right now. Write it down.
So in Fahrenheit, that's 1652 degrees. 1652. 400, 1600. That's fine. Perfect.
So far on any of these guesses, though I've been pretty way off. So at least I'm consistent in my
It's always good to be consistent in your consistencies.
Definitely don't work for the mob. It's okay.
That's what you say. That's what anyone would say, even if you did work for the mob.
Maybe, maybe not. You'll never know.
That's true. I hopefully never will, especially with and that my car won't, you know, explode with 1,600 degrees of you know, heat.
Yeah.
I guess you can
tell. I'll pass. I'll definitely pass on that.
Yeah. All right. So you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
Let's get into the script.
Okay. All right. So there's a few discrepancies here. There's, first of all, an extended conversation between Neil and Del, where Neil turns to Del and says, "Why is the car on fire?" And Del goes, "I don't know." And Neil goes, "My suitcase is in the back seat." And Del responds, "So is your briefcase." And then Neil says, "And my wallet too." And then Del says to him, "And your suit coat. It was actually a beautiful garment." And then Neil responds to him and says, "I'll bet my left nut you did that with one of your cigarettes." Now, again, they go back to the whole, you know, discussion of betting one's anatomy, which was done in week three. I think we first discussed that when they're on the plane. And Del goes, "I don't think so. I only had one, and I made sure I tossed it out." And then Neil says, "Well, what I smelled before was the car, burning plastic. I'll bet you threw the cigarette out, and it came back in." And then Del says, "I doubt it. I'm pretty careful. But I've been wrong before. At any rate, I'm sorry."
Everything. That was a nice garment.
Yeah.
That was, all of it. I do like that they addressed that it was the cigarette that did it rather than just passing on. But it works much better for the pacing to let that whole conversation go.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And so, you know, that's their extended conversation here and stuff like that. So I like that. I like being able to read this stuff in the script, but it doesn't detract from the fact that they didn't use it in the final cut.
Yeah.
I mean they're good.
It is funny that Del's the only one who has his luggage that's safe and fine, and Neil's is everything. Everything that's destroyed is Neil's, and Neil doesn't know yet. Well, he sort of figures it out by the end of this one, that the credit card that was used was his for the car. So literally, all of his stuff is FUBAR.
Yes, correct. And I mean, we'll discuss that more next week with my guest next.
Yes.
But yeah, 100%. So every Friday, we do a segment called Weekend Candy, where my guests will give their top five John Candy performances. So what have you got for us, Heather?
I would like to give an honorable mention to Nothing But Trouble, because I just love that movie. Even though it's terrible, it's still absolutely delightful. But my number five is a classic joyous film called Cool Runnings. I love it. It's still sweet and good. And it makes me want to sing things about the Jamaican bobsled team.
Well, we talked about bobsledding this week, didn't we?
Yes. We talked about Bob Lowe.
We talked about Bob Lowe and bobsledding. Yes. Because remember there was the description in the script about that when the steamer trunk and the trunk flew off, it rolled down the highway like a bobsled. That's true.
It did indeed.
Yes.
All right. Okay. My number four is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. As it turns out, I like this movie. I didn't mind coming on for five episodes talking about 5 minutes of it.
There you go.
In detail, because it's wonderful.
Yes.
My number three is Uncle Buck. I love it. I already talked about it with my John Hughes movies, but Uncle Buck is absolutely and utterly delightful. And John Candy is so sweet and funny in it. He's at his absolute best. My number two is Spaceballs.
I'm a mom.
I mean, you've got Mel Brooks and Star Wars and John Candy for me. It's just absolute delight. It's all of the things that I love in the world.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Merchandising. Love it. And my number one is The Great Outdoors, because it's a fantastic movie. It's a hilarious movie. It's a wonderful movie, but it also has sneaky raccoons that can talk, which I believe is a real thing. Also, my childhood nightmare of a bear crashing down a door into the house, which is something I used to continually think was going to happen at my grandparents' house as a child.
Wow.
I said that in one breath. It was good. Afraid of Outdoors
And
is fantastic. It's wonderful.
are you still?
Afraid of bear?
Yes.
Yes, because I respect creatures. And that's the bear's house. It's not my house. I go out there. I go out there armed now.
Two
But
arms, two
yes.
arms.
I'm very powerful. Just play dead and be done with it.
Right, great. So every day we have another segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story or anecdote of something that happened to us along the journey of life. So Heather, you got one last one for us for this Friday?
I do. This is an adventure I went on with my first car, which I mentioned earlier this week. It was a 1993 Ford Festiva. I had only had it for a couple months. The gas mileage on it was fantastic. It was a manual transmission, which I loved. So I drove everywhere because, you know, I could get 35 miles to a gallon on the highway,
Wow.
sometimes even 40. Yeah, it was great. And gas was only $1.10 a gallon at the time. So it was wonderful. And I think I was working at Blockbuster at the time. It was just a brilliant time of my life. It was the summer before I started college. So Kensington is this beautiful lake that's,
I
you
know
know, it's in
Kensington.
40. You know Kensington. If you're from southeastern
My
Michigan,
brother,
you know where
one of
Kensington
my brothers
is.
almost burnt down Kensington. But okay.
Oh, I believe it. It's a bit of a
He
hike,
started a fire
but
there. They were with there with school. This must have been in 1980. My brother graduated in 86, so it must have been like in 85. They went on like a class, like a school trip or something like that, and a fire started there. And apparently, he and one of his friends were responsible.
well, I'm glad he didn't burn it down
No, not
because I've
completely.
had many joyous experiences there and not so joyous ones since.
Okay.
This was, we were meeting there, a bunch of friends and coworkers to go play volleyball, beach volleyball. So we spent the afternoon there, and then afterwards, the whole plan was to go see the Blair Witch Project. I was driving, it was great. We left, and oh my goodness, we're in Michigan. The entire freeway was blocked off on the way home because there was construction. So at the time, it was 1999. Did not have cell phones, did not have GPS in the car, but I know where South Lyon is in the basic area, and I'm pretty good with directions. Not someone that gets lost too often. And also, you know, remember, great gas mileage in the car. Well, I really didn't have a lot of gas left in the car at the time. Because also, still 18 years old, not particularly responsible with keeping my tank full. And also, not a lot of money. I was a broke college student. So I take off and I head in the direction that I believe is south, which I was accurate in, but I didn't know any of the roads up back there. And it's at the time South Lyon, now it's all suburbs, but at the time it was all just farm country.
Oh, wow.
That was it. Yeah. So we were trying to find a gas station too. I mean, we were going to pull together like dollars and change and that kind of thing. We're trying to find a gas station. We're also trying to find our way back home. It had been like an hour. We had been going in circles. We had no idea where we were. Eventually, we ended up in Ann Arbor,
Ooh.
which was south, but not really the direction we
No.
wanted to go in.
No.
So we ended up in Ann Arbor. The good thing was we got gas. The bad thing was I still had no idea how to get out of Ann Arbor because it's U of M college town and it's madness down there. Also, it was like a Friday or Saturday night, and I'm guessing Saturday, and traffic was insane. So it took me about, I think, a whole trip that should have been 45 minutes max, took about 3 hours for us to figure out to get back home. Found Michigan Avenue, where they have Michigan Lefts, just in case anyone wants to keep up. Michigan Lefts with the median on Michigan Avenue and made our way back home. But it was almost 3 hours it took, and it was dark by the time we got home and we were all cold.
Wow.
That's the closest I've had to any like real issues actually driving my car. But that was the first time I was ever really scared that I was going to run out of gas. I've never ran out of gas before, and that was the time that it was going to happen, and we were going to be in the middle of farm world, and you know that's how horror movies start. Bunch of teenagers, happy day. Yeah. And we were on our way to see a horror movie that we didn't make it to.
You could have gone to see it in Ann Arbor, yeah.
We didn't have enough money. We used our last $5 to get gas. So that was the big one for
All
me.
right. Excellent. That's a great story. All right. So you want to once again, for the final time, tell people how they can get in touch with you, Heather.
Absolutely. You can find MILFcast on all of your social mediums, and you can find all of our old shows that are still there if you'd like to watch or listen on YouTube or Podomatic. And you can find me on Twitter at Heather underscore Kenobi or on Instagram at Heather Time.
All right, and to find me, it's very simple. Just do a quick search for a movie or a minute. You can find my website, Facebook, Twitter, and have fun listening to this show. That's the important thing. So, Heather, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you
I hope you've enjoyed
so
yourself
much
too.
for having me on. Yes, it's been joyous, and I've had lots of coffee, so it's
All
good.
right, and hopefully I'll get you back for season three. We'll
Absolutely.
talk about that when I begin pre-production of it. We'll see. All right, excellent. So everyone have a great weekend, and until Monday, you're fine.